several references in tonight's text, all of which use, you'll notice, the same very powerful word. Verse 7 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice." Verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Verse 15, "While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." In chapter 4, you'll notice down in verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Now, folks, it is impossible, I think, for any believer to read these texts, all of them, and to read them within their immediate context and not be impressed with the strong spiritual emphasis that the Holy Spirit is placing on the promise and the power of today. In fact, if you look again at verse 7, it says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." In other words, even though this is a quotation of the words of David in Psalm 95, still the writer of Hebrews attributes the word today to the Holy Spirit, right? But that's not all. Verse 7 again, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Down in verse 15, "While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses." You see, not only, here it is, did David say, today, and it was really the Holy Spirit who said it, but Moses said it as well, but not really Moses, because as verse 9 indicates, the Jewish fathers attempted and did not listen to the heavenly father's voice who said today. And of course, it's not just Moses, and it's not just David or the Holy Spirit or even the heavenly father that's saying today, but someone else is. Verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin." So the writer of Hebrews, whoever that is, nobody knows for sure, maybe Paul, maybe Barnabas, possibly Brother Sam, we're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, he too, for New Testament Christians, emphasizes the word today. Again, chapter 4, if you would, look at verse 7. "Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Now, folks, I know it sounds a little bit like who's on first, but what he's teaching here is that way back in the days of Moses, God promised a rest today, that is, there today. And then in the days of King David himself, after so long a time, he spoke about today to them in their day. And then when the book of Hebrews was being penned, the writer quotes from those Old Testament stories and says the same thing today. And so it is tonight, at this very moment, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us this exact same word. It is a word of blessing. It is a word of admonition. It is a word of mercy, exhortation. It is a word of warning. It is a word of great promise or a word of great peril, depending on what we do with it. Today is the most important day ever in any believer's life. I mentioned this morning the expression that we often use when we talk about red letter days. These are days that we mark on the calendar and use red ink because they're very important to us. And so we call them red letter days, right? You know, every year at 11:11, 11 minutes after 11, on the 11th day of the 11th month, our nation observes Veterans Day. You see, the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month was when World War I ended in 1918. This year, it will be 11-11, 11-11, 11, because of 2011. And so people would think that's a real red-letter day, so to speak. But what is the real, true red-letter day for you? You have someone somewhere marked on your own calendar, and maybe you even use red. You've marked a certain day somewhere in the future. Some of you have marked a future date because of a past event, and it's a red letter day for those reasons. Many times you've heard me speak about the woman at the well. This was a woman who was essentially focused on 2 days every day other than today. She was focused on yesterday when she said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain." And she was focused on tomorrow when she said, "When Messiah comes, he will show us all things." Now, she didn't talk about or think much about today. She wasn't excited about today in her life, and you can't much blame her. She was a 5-time divorced Samaritan woman in the first century living with a man who would not commit to her. Today had to be a struggle for her. Human nature, she looks back to yesterday. And she looks ahead to tomorrow, but she's not too crazy about today. And you know, the truth is, that's pretty much how it is for everybody without spiritual perception. Today, when compared to yesterday or compared to tomorrow, it just doesn't get a lot of publicity. After all, yesterday has all that nostalgia going for it. Them good old days. Everybody looks back to 50 years ago. Someone once said ever since Adam's 51st birthday, people have been looking back to the good old days. You know why? Because it's yesterday, and since it's yesterday, you know, you have the luxury of putting aside whatever discomfort or pain they felt at that time. As Thomas Campbell once wrote, distance lends enchantment to the view. It simply means that everything looks better from a great distance. That's why every fairy tale, as we've said before, every fairy tale starts with long, long ago in a land far, far away. It has to. It can't be yesterday down the street. Or this morning down the street. No fairy tale starts that way because you know better. It's not a fairy tale today. Same thing with tomorrow. Everybody loves tomorrow. You know, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom. You know why? Because tomorrow has promise. But guess what else will come out tomorrow? Yeah, the mosquitoes will come out and the bills come out and the car problems come out. But Pastor, tomorrow, I love you. Yes, you love tomorrow. The sun will come out tomorrow, Pastor. Yep. And your nasty neighbor is going to come out tomorrow. And my hair is going to come out tomorrow. Lots of things are going to come out tomorrow. Tomorrow is very easily embellished. And yesterday is easily glamorized. But today is just today. No makeup, no airbrushing, no facades, no Photoshop. Today just sits here in its unvarnished reality. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the reasons why today must be seen proactively by all of us in this room as the true bona fide red letter day in our lives. In fact, the truth is, as far as you and I are concerned, today is the only day that affords you any opportunity whatsoever for here and now. The Bible tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't brag about tomorrow. You don't boast about tomorrow because you don't know what tomorrow might bring. There's nothing about tomorrow in this life that's worth glorying in this life. We have promises about tomorrow that we ought to embrace by faith and glory in. You know, someone once said, tomorrow is when idle men work and fools repent. And it's very true. Tomorrow has no promise. In fact, you ever think about the fact that the rich man in hell in Luke chapter 16? Think about this. Do you ever realize that he and the poor beggar named Lazarus both did the exact same things before God? The only difference is the rich man did not do them today. For instance, the rich man, you know, he also lifted up his eyes and prayed, just like the poor beggar. He lifted up his eyes and he prayed to the Father, but he didn't do it today. He also cried out for mercy, but he didn't do it today. He also felt needy and saw the importance of eternity and eternal things, but he didn't do it today. What a difference one day makes. It brings us again to this repeated and powerful emphasis in the book of Hebrews on the blessing and the glory and the joy of this day today. Because, you know, if you don't believe or think or understand that today is the most important day in your life, then I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit in Hebrews and do these three things when tomorrow is today and right now while today is still today. And I think you'll discover the power and all that today is all about. Well, three things, Pastor. Well, they're right here in the scripture. The first one I want you to think about, consider, is number one, think about the Lord Jesus today. Why is today a great day? Because today you are commanded and you have the opportunity to consider or think about Jesus today. Chapter 3. Would you look at it for a moment? Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, by the way, the word wherefore there is in reference to chapters 1 and 2, where we were just taught that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is better than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, seated at the right hand of the Father, and is now our merciful high priest. So, what does he say? Verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The word consider in verse 1 literally means to fix your thoughts. In fact, consider was a strong word in 1611, much like our word contemplate or our word meditate. So that the admonition here is to take time today to think about and dwell upon the apostle, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And why? Verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man, Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast for the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, here it is, today, if you'll hear his voice. You see, folks, the Hebrews to whom this letter was written spent a lot of time thinking about a man by the name of Moses. They spent a lot of time obsessed with this man, Moses. The problem is, of course, Moses was a man. I believe the greatest leader the world has ever seen, but he was still a man. Moses made mistakes. Moses committed sins. Moses died one day in the wilderness. He was faithful, it says, quote, as a servant in the house. But Jesus, who is your Savior tonight, he is the son over his own house, which house we are. He never sinned. He never made a mistake. He never disappointed the Father. So that, you know what, no matter how long or how much you consider the Lord Jesus, he will never disappoint you. So consider him. You know, I love to read biographies, but I have to tell you that every biography I've ever read of any person I've ever read that was considered my hero, Theodore Roosevelt was one of my heroes as a teenager and in college, and I read every biography about him I could get my hands on. Finally, Edmund Morris wrote one that was supposed to be the quintessential biography. I read it, and you know, with every biography I've ever read about every man I've ever studied, I'm always disappointed. There's always something in their life, something they did, something they said, something they promoted. If the biography was honest, it's disappointing. The Bible says to consider Jesus today, every day. You will never be disappointed. You'll never be let down. When on occasion I think about religion or cults, belief systems of men, and especially when I consider their founders and their prophets, even the atheism, which is a non-profit organization. Ba-dum-tsh. You know, when I think about those folks, I'm glad about something. Listen to this. I'm glad that I don't have to daily consider and meditate about them. You know, Sung Young Moon, I read something about him just 2 days ago. Sung Young Loon. The Moonies were loonies. Whatever happened to the Moonies? Are they still around? Are they still in North Korea? I don't know. But you know what? I would hate to be a part of that cult and have to consider that man. Because when I read about him, it's crazy. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. I'm glad that as a child of the living God, I don't have to consider him today or any day. But I am commanded to consider, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12. For consider him, it says, that endures such contradiction of sinners. In other words, today, did you think about Jesus? Did you consider the author, the finisher of your faith, Because today, you were supposed to do that. Not tomorrow, not some letter or a day that you circled in red on your calendar. Not yesterday, but today, and there's a reason for doing it today. 1943, they had a huge problem with Allied planes coming back to England after their sorties. The problem was the heavy English fog. It obscured the runways, and pilots were crashing in droves. So that, you know what? They said that it was almost as dangerous coming back and landing in England as it was going out on a mission. Winston Churchill ordered a solution. He told his scientists to fix the problem. And of course, they said it was impossible. It's impossible to do away with fog. And so he said, as only Winston Churchill could, then do the impossible. And sure enough, they did. July 1943, men engineered a machine. It took 7 minutes. They could disperse enough fog to make the runway visible and safe. And it was believed that that one victory saved thousands of lives. You see, fog itself is not a bad thing, is it? Fog in and of itself doesn't hurt anything or anyone, except for one thing, except for the fact that it prevents you from seeing clearly. And this is what's dangerous. And beloved, listen to me. When you take time today to think about the Lord Jesus, today, when you take time to consider Him your Lord and Savior, it removes the fog from your eyes. It allows you to see clearly who you are, where you are, who He is, where you're going, and where you've been. You say, Pastor, what do you mean think about Jesus? Simply this. Simply what the text is saying. You love the Lord Jesus. You love Him because He first loved you. Okay, when you love someone, you think about them. You love the Lord Jesus, then sometime today, think about Him. Think about what He's done for you. Think about the cross and the resurrection. Oh, I'll think about that when we have communion. No, you think about today. Think about the resurrection and the soon return and all of His promises. Think about His power and His holiness and His love for you. Think about His goodness in enduring the cross for you. Think about the Lord Jesus today. David said, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet." And whenever it's today, take time to think about the Lord Jesus. Several days ago, it was about two-thirds of the way through the day, and something occurred to me. It occurred to me that this was the day that Steve Jobs died. It occurred to me that I had been thinking about, reading about, considering Steve Jobs far more than I had about the Lord on that day. And I was greatly convicted in my mind. Because Steve Jobs did not die for my sins. Steve Jobs is not the source of all wisdom. Consider the apostle, the high priest of our profession. The second thing it says to do today, not only to think about Him, it says to listen to Him. Look at chapter 3 and verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice." Verse 15, "While it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice." And again, chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said today, today, if ye will hear His voice." That's today. Well, Pastor, I hear His voice on Sunday. Good. Make sure you hear His voice today, too, when Monday is today. You see, please note this. What God is saying in His Word is you and I have an opportunity today to hear the voice of God. Not an audible voice, but His Word just the same. And if there is one thing that the Holy Spirit of God constantly emphasizes to God's people in this book, it is to listen to Him today. If that rich man had done it today, he would not have been in hell begging for a single drop of water. Beloved, it is listening today that makes the difference. I tell preachers in counseling, young preachers, preacher boys, they ask me sometimes, they'll say, "What do you advise, this, that, and the other?" And one of the things I tell them, one of my stock things, is if they could learn one Bible truth, just one, today, each and every day, just one, it would be a huge, huge spiritual victory for them in their lives. If they did it every single day. When it was today, learn something from God's Word. And I would remind him that's 365 truths from the Word of God by, in this case, next November. In 5 years, 1,825 truths. In 10 years, nearly 4,000 truths. And so on. But you know, the average Christian doesn't learn 5 truths in a year. Not really. And the reason is they don't do it today. Many, many years ago, Ben was really little, and he was on a quest where every single night or day, at least once a day, I had to tell him a story. Any kind of a story, Bible story, true story, scary story, made-up story. For a long stretch, it was, tell me a story of something you did bad when you were a boy. Talk about 365 things in a year. Talk about 4,000 things in 10 years. I had them all. So anyway, one night it was getting late, and I hadn't told him any stories. And at the time, I was busy studying. And I remember he just kept nagging me, constantly nagging me. How much longer? And I would say, a few more minutes. I'll tell you your story. A few minutes went by, and he said, how much longer? And I said, a few more minutes. He said, that's exactly what you said last time. How many minutes? And I made up a number. I said, 42. He left. And you know what? He didn't nag me. He just left and left me alone. I went back to studying, and out of the kitchen all of a sudden, I heard beep, 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 and it was the alarm on the stove. And he came in and he said, 42 minutes are up. He sat on the couch, Rick will remember the way he was, counting down 42 to 41, watching that thing all the way down to zero. He was tired and it was late, but he didn't want the day to end until he had heard his story. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. God wants to speak to you today. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday, not next week, not on a full moon, not on some big anniversary, not on this day that you circled because that's a special day just to you. God wants to speak to you today. God wants you to listen to him today. And I'll say it again, whenever it is today, do not let today pass without taking the opportunity to hear his voice. Have you heard his voice today? Better yet, when tomorrow is today, on Monday, by the end of the evening, when it's 7:13, will you have heard his voice? Will you have listened to his voice on that day? Because again, that is the emphasis in the book of Hebrews. Today, hear his voice. Today, listen to him. He has something for you today. Well, Pastor, I just think that means in general and during my lifetime in general. No, it couldn't mean that because you don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You only have a guarantee of right now and here and today. Pastor, I wonder when I should read the Bible. Today? Today. It's that simple. Listen to God today, always. Always, always, always. Do this today. You know, the worst thing that came out of Pharaoh's mouth, these scriptures are referring to those times, the worst thing that came out of Pharaoh's mouth, when God was speaking through Moses, God's voice through Moses, the worst thing out of Pharaoh's mouth was what? Tomorrow. Tomorrow, he said. You know why? Tomorrow, he said, I might listen to God. The problem is, every one of those texts describes what happens when you do tomorrow. He hardened his heart. And what does the verse say over and over again? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. When you don't listen to him today, you are, by definition, hardening your heart against that voice. Because he is speaking today. It's just a question, are we listening? This is a living book. And it speaks today. And God wants to speak to you through it today. Harden not your hearts. When we say tomorrow, we are hardening our hearts to the voice of God. We said, number one, today is the day to think about the Lord Jesus. Number two, today is the day to listen to the Lord Jesus. And then number three, I want you to notice, today is the day to speak. To speak for the Lord Jesus. Chapter 3 and verse 13, look at what it says. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Now, how do you exhort one another? Well, you have to, and daily, while it's today, well, you have to open your mouth. Using the word daily, you'll notice the scripture says, whenever it is today. That is the day to speak on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, and specifically any words of exhortation or encouragement. That's what it means by exhorting here. And the reason for that, folks, is obvious. You cannot go back yesterday and teach your kids. Ansley's waving at me. Hi, Ansley. You cannot go back yesterday and exhort or encourage somebody. You can only do it today. You can't encourage anybody tomorrow. You can only do it today. And today is when people need it. Today is when people need it. Suppose the Lord Jesus said to the thief on the cross, I'll talk to you about that tomorrow. There was no tomorrow for that man, but he did say this, today you'll be with me in paradise. He listened today, he spoke today, he encouraged, he exhorted today, and today was the day that that man got to go to heaven. George Bernard Shaw, a cynical man, once wrote, he said, the statistics on death are very impressive. One out of one is guaranteed to die. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that nobody is guaranteed tomorrow. Which is why God always says, exhort one another daily while it is called today. There is somebody that you love and appreciate. Then you know what? You really ought to tell that person that you love them or that you appreciate them today. Buy them flowers before they're in a casket. Amen? There's nothing wrong with flowers at a funeral, don't get me wrong, but I've always been amazed at how much money and time and effort people will lavish on someone that they didn't speak to when they needed to be spoken to while they were alive today. I'm going to close, but I want you to think about something. Today really is the red letter. You know, you got to take your calendar and just mark every single day in red. Or just get one that only shows one day at a time. That's even better. And every time it comes up, it's circled in red. Today really is your red letter day. It may not be as glamorous as yesterday or as promising as tomorrow. But you know, it is the day the Lord hath made. It is the day that God has given you right now, and as such, it is precious. It is blessed. It is glorious in spite of all of its flaws. In spite of all of its scars and its warts that stand right there in the blazing light, it's a perfect day for you to do all that God wants you to do. Benjamin Franklin used to say, one today is worth 10 tomorrows. It's really worth more than that to him now, or anybody. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may, the old time is still a-flying. And this same flower which smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. I ask you a question. What is it that God wants you to do today? And you know it. Well, you know he wants you to listen to him. He wants you to consider and think about his son. It's what it says explicitly. You know he wants you to speak for him. What else does God want you to do today? Because today is your opportunity and only opportunity to do it. I remember years ago, mid-1980s, Johnny Van Dyke and I sitting in my office, and I said, John, we loved Vance Havner. Loved to hear him preach. He was almost a prophet to the Southern Baptist Convention in those days, and really not very well liked towards the end of his life by those folks, unfortunately. But Vance Havner was a wonderful preacher. And I found out that he was in a nursing home about 8 hours away. And I said, John, I said, it's 6:30 in the morning. If we leave right now, we'll go ask Dr. Bob if we get permission. We can visit him. He was lucid, but nobody visited him. We found out he was practically alone, forgotten. I just want to drive there and encourage him. Tell him what a blessing he's been. Ask him to pray for us. We were young preachers. Be a blessing at the sunset years of his life.
yeah, it's a great idea.
So, all right, let's do it today. Hour went by, hour and a half went by. Called Dr. Bob. He said, sure, go ahead and go. Just do some work on the way and back. Then something else came up, then something else. Then I wanted to talk to some people. Before you know it, we said, let's just do it tomorrow. And you know, we never got that opportunity because within about 3 days, we heard that he slipped into a coma and remained that way with hospice until he went home to be with the Lord. Look, he didn't, there was no loss on his part. The loss was on our part. I had an opportunity to do something today, and to this day, have regretted not doing it. And there are thousands of other examples. Tomorrow, the sun's going to come up, Lord willing. Unless he comes back, I'll take that instead. But if the sun comes up and you're walking around, it will be today for you. Listen to his voice. Consider him. Think about him. When that opportunity affords itself, and it will, speak. You have children, you have grandchildren, you have work, colleagues at work, neighbors, people in the store, speak for him. And then that thing that you know you need to do today, do it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Do not boast about what you're going to do tomorrow. Embrace what you're able to do today by the grace of God. Our Father, we're so grateful for every day, every moment of every day you give to us to serve you. And I pray, Father, we'll never take for granted every breath that we take in life and every step that you give us, Lord, that we will have this as an opportunity to hear your voice, to consider the high priest of our profession, the author, the finisher of our faith, and to exhort one another daily while it's called today. And bless the remainder of this today, Father. In the hours that remain to serve you, may we be faithful. We'll give you the praise for the fruit that comes because of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.